Greetings. This is Pastor George, one final time before Pastor Rock returns next week from his annual August sabbatical. Now this week, we continued in the Gospel of Mark, specifically chapters 4 through 12. And let me just say, as I read through these chapters, they're chock full of transformational principles that are essential for growing in our faith and walking in deeper intimacy with Jesus. In fact, there's so many that I had a difficult time zeroing in on what to highlight today. As I've had the opportunity to share my thoughts on this 91-week journey from time to time, my previous pattern has been to hone in on one overriding theme or principle and examine it the entire time. Today, however, due to the abundance of potential topics, I'm going to depart from past patterns and instead focus briefly on two principles because they're both critically important to our transformation. So let's start by taking a look at the first one and what I call the love principle. Now this one's located at the tail end of our reading this week, Mark chapter 12, where Jesus is asked by a teacher of the law in verse 28, which of the commandments is most important? And Jesus doesn't hesitate in responding. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's interesting to see that Jesus follows this up by saying, there is no commandment, singular, greater than these. In other words, although there appear to be two separate commands, in reality, Jesus views them as the same command. Loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbor as ourself is the same commandment. What that simply means is it's impossible to do one without doing the other because they're a package deal. In other words, not doing both is to do neither. Look at it this way. If anyone claims to love God but doesn't love their neighbor, then it may be unlikely that person really loves God at all, because Jesus ties love for God directly to loving our neighbor. And we need to be committed to both in order to be obedient to this greatest commandment. And I'm pretty certain Jesus means all of our neighbors, not just the lovable ones. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 that loving only the people that love us falls short of what's required as followers of Jesus. In fact, neglecting or refusing to love our enemies is really a stubborn heart condition that plays itself out as rebellion against God and His greatest commandment. Jesus said to love our enemies and do good to them, to pray for them and to forgive them. Now this is where the rubber meets the road in God's kingdom. Are there people in your life right now that you need to love even though they may have mistreated you? And if there's someone in your life you're refusing to love, and you know it, this is an obstacle to your transformation that will remain until you choose to walk in obedience to God. Cherry-picking God's commands does not lead to growth. Instead, it's a hindrance to growth. The best way you can express your love for God is not only to spend time with Him, but to love your neighbor and to walk in obedience to his commands, especially when it's difficult. Because when you do that, it's a demonstration of your faith to him, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus said in Mark 11:28, "Blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." You see, there is no blessing for hearing only. There is blessing for hearing and obeying. And that leads directly into our second principle for today. And I'll call this one the forgiveness principle. Now let me say up front that unforgiveness is a big problem in the church today. But according to Scripture, it shouldn't be. Instead, in light of what God has done for us by forgiving us our sins, we ought to be the most forgiving people on the planet. And let me also add that a refusal to forgive others is a primary hindrance to our transformation and quenches our relationship with God. And what makes unforgiveness so dangerous is that it's a heart condition that places us in a perpetual state of rebellion against God 24/7. And that can only be lifted when we make the choice to be obedient and forgive. So what am I talking about here? Well, take a look at Mark chapter 11, verse 25 with me. Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Now, what Jesus said here is that before we commune with Him, before we enter into a time of nurturing our relationship with Him through prayer, we must forgive anyone that has sinned against us in any way. And there are no exceptions. In other words, God actually prefers and even demands that we refrain from entering into times of prayer with Him until we become obedient by releasing others from our debt. But wouldn't you know, Jesus doesn't stop there. In fact, He raises the bar to a much more demanding and damning level when He makes our own forgiveness dependent upon our willingness to forgive others that have offended us. Now think about the implications of what Jesus said here for a minute, because they're staggering, and I don't think we often take time to consider them. Now this is not the only time Jesus said this. Look up Matthew 6:15, because Jesus was much more direct and clear when He said, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, if we take a close look around Scripture to see what it says about unforgiveness, we'll see that what Jesus said in these passages is a consistent biblical principle that we don't talk about much, but we should. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Now, what's the flip side of that statement? I think it would go something like this: "Cursed are the unmerciful, for they will not be shown mercy." Now, what does all this mean? Because it doesn't seem to fit nicely within the context of how we view and understand our salvation, does it? Does Scripture really say that God will not forgive us our sins if we dig in and refuse to forgive others that have hurt us? But wait a minute. I raised my hand. I went to the prayer room. I was baptized. I go to church every week. Is it possible that hell is filled with people who claim to follow Jesus, but in the end refuse to forgive others, and as a result were shown to be imposters? Is it possible that we can go to church every week, read the Bible, and follow most of what Jesus says, but in the end die in a state of rebellion against God because we refuse to forgive even one person? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this very thing when He said, beginning in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In fact, many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Remember, when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, "And forgive us our sins," what? "As we forgive those who sin against us." You see, there was a definite expectation that dedicated followers of Jesus would forgive others. Now, these are sobering words, because anyone that claims to be a follower of Jesus does not want to stand before Him in the judgment and explain why they refuse to forgive anyone else. You just don't want to go there. Because if you're honest with yourself, you already know the answer. And it's simply this: it's absurd to hold anyone else in our debt when we consider how much God has forgiven us. In fact, that's what the parable of the unforgiving servant is all about. Go read it in Matthew chapter 18. Look, these are hard truths that we can't afford to ignore because there's too much at stake. And they're right from Scripture. And it's dangerous to place some kind of spin on them in order to justify or rationalize our own disobedience. And we better face it now while there's still time to get things corrected and get our lives back in alignment with God's will, especially if we know there's someone in our life or from our past that we refuse to love or forgive. But before I close, let me just add a few more facts and boundaries about forgiving others. First, unforgiveness and its evil twin, bitterness, hinders our transformation because it gives the devil a foothold in our lives. Ephesians 4:27. Secondly, our responsibility to forgive others does not require that the offending party asks for forgiveness. We can and must forgive independent of anyone asking for it or showing remorse for their actions. Now, that can make it easier, but it's not a requirement. We must learn to forgive because God commands it and it's good for us. Third, forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. Sometimes when we forgive others, it can lead to reconciliation, but not always. Reconciliation is not always healthy or necessary, but forgiveness is. Fourth, forgiveness does not mean we permit someone to continue to sin against us. Sometimes we need to erect or maintain barbed wire fences in order to prevent further damage from others. Fifth, it's possible to think you've forgiven someone when in reality you really haven't and you still need to deal with it. And finally, number six, sometimes we need instruction and help on how to forgive. So let me just mention that if you're having difficulty forgiving someone, it's likely tied to some deep wounding that occurred in your past, and you may need some help walking through the process. And we offer that here at ACAC through our counseling department. But we also deal with forgiveness in our soul care classes that we'll be launching in a few weeks. And I'd encourage you to join one of those. We have a co-ed class meeting second hour on Sunday mornings. We have a men's only soul care class that'll meet Tuesday evenings, and a women's only soul care class that'll meet on Wednesday evenings. You can sign up for any of these classes online or at the Connection Hub. This is Pastor George. Have a great day.